rolling stones. In the Mishkan, you're never alone.
Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy with my special guest, Suzette Robinson, and this is part 14A of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. And if you'd like to catch up with this series, if you haven't listened to it, you can go to www.remnantremedy.net/radio, or just go to remnantremedy.net, and over on the right, you'll see where you can click on to listen to the radio shows. So let's continue.
All right, oil for cooking.
We talked about this with the funny donuts and candy thermometer earlier, but it takes so much less heat and energy to cook with oil than it does with water and or to bake, unless you're using, you know, a solar oven or solar stove. So oil is what makes, oxygen is what makes oil spoil. It is supposed to be good on the shelf for years if it's left unopened, like brand new sealed from the store. Oil is also high calories that you need when you're in an emergency situation. You need high calories. You can make fried breads, flatbreads, donuts, tortillas in a few seconds with hot oil, where the same food to try to bake would be an hour or so if you had access to the energy, or a lot longer if you were trying to bake it or cook it another way. So frying is a quick way to cook food that otherwise takes a lot more energy and resources.
Absolutely. All right. What is a P-38?
That is the little military-style can opener, and it's only about a half an inch to an inch long, and it's manual, and it has a hole in it so you can keep it on your key ring, and I recommend having those. If you have canned goods that aren't, home canned goods, if you were scrounging or something, you would definitely want to not have to try to open those with a knife or pliers or scissors, because you're putting yourself in danger of creating an injury, which, if you don't have injuries, you definitely don't want to create them either. Avoid them. So a P-38 is cheap. It's really easy to find. You can get them at the camping stores, have them now. You can run into the department stores and grocery stores that have camping sections. And I think Coleman is now putting one out, or two pack for a couple of dollars. It has a little sharp edge, curved edge on it, and you stick that on the can, and it has a flat part that you hold in your, between your thumb and your finger, and you just push the sharp edge all the way around the can. It's a really small, inexpensive tool to never worry about not being able to open up a canned good.
And where can you get these?
The military stores will carry the actual P-38s. A lot of times they'll have them 59 cents a dollar. You can get them online at camping stores and survival stores, or, like I said, in the camping sections, like Coleman produces a package of them now that I think it's a two-pack. They won't call it a P-38. They'll call it something else. That's the military designation.
So basically ask for a military can opener.
Yeah.
On a key ring, or get a key ring to put it on.
Yeah.
All right. A pallet root cellar. Pallets are great for lots of things. We've used them for compost piles and gate doors and gates and mini pens for animals,
And they make great campfires if they're to the point where you don't want to use them anymore, which is a sad use of them, but still using them. A pallet root cellar, yeah, this is, you dig a 4x4x4 hole, you line it with plastic like tarps, and then you line it with the pallets, and they're usually, pallets are free in a lot of places.
And so you put the plastic on the bottom, the pallet on the top.
Right. Put the plastic in, then put your pallets in so that you're making a box.
Okay.
And then you cover it with plastic, and you cover it with dirt or landscaping. You can store several months' worth of food in that, and it's at constant temperature because it's underground. And there's a concept called WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. We hear that a lot with technology or other things, but that also comes to your emergency supplies and your, preparations. You want to have your supplies in a way that they're still there for you if, somebody were to come, yeah, forbid, raiding or confiscating or marauding, you know, whatever. There's sometimes a concept of having some for people to take and some that you've hidden, like such a thing as a pallet root cellar, that you, only you would know where they are.
Okay. Well, that's a really cool idea. I like that one.
And very, very inexpensive and probably doable for most everybody because the ground is a constant temperature. Once you get down and dig a little bit, you know, everywhere you go.
Right. And I happen to know that's really true because my husband works in a mine in the middle of a mountain and it's always 55 degrees. Doesn't matter what time of the year it is, it's about that temperature.
And that's not warm, like comfy warm, like housing, but it's good for storing food for sure.
Right. Yep. All right, paper and pencil. Who uses that anymore? Who writes? I mean, if you don't have a notepad, right, or a laptop, what do you need that for?
Yeah, I've been told that the kids in school don't even learn cursive anymore. Oh, anyway, paper and pencil. If you say this would be important a lot in your automobile, this is one of the, or at your home, if you were fleeing or like say in a situation where you were traveling in your vehicle and you broke down and you had to bug out and, you know, seek help or whatever, you want to be able to leave a message and you don't really want to have to write it in, you know, red lipstick on the windshield. So if, you know, for those who use that, you want to have something to write on. Pens are not as reliable. Yeah, they're great. They, you know, a lot of times they last for years, but a pencil, you know, is not going to flake out because it's wet or damp or cold or whatever, or run dry.
But they can be difficult to sharpen, especially I noticed the newer pencils aren't sturdy like the old ones. But you can use a knife to sharpen them. I mean, you know, just have to kind of use, what's the word, learn the art of it because they're just not as sturdy. I think it's maybe the wood.
Yeah, and sometimes they're made with like a pulp or a,
yeah,
you know, MDF or some kind of a thing. But if you had both, if you had a pencil and a, or even a mechanical pencil, something to write with and some paper so that you could leave a note for people if you want to be found.
Yeah, and I mean, I know children that go to public school, and they tell me they take their spelling tests and everything on a computer, so I don't even know if they know how to write, you know. But, you know, buy some 12-packs or 24-packs of pencils, and I like this, you know, in the fall, right before school starts, you can get really good deals on pencils and notebook paper.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes 10 cents for a notebook, which is right. Crazy. Because yeah. Go to the office supply store, they're definitely not 10 cents.
Right. And dollar stores are good for that kind of stuff, too.
Yep, absolutely. And the things you would put on your note would be, if you, let's say you wanted to be found and you, like, broke down or something or it was a disaster, you would want to leave your time of departure, your destination, the conditions, et cetera, how many are with you, and leave that for someone to find you.
Now, you know something I used to do when I was single and I would travel from Florida to California by myself or whenever I would go on a long trip, even with me and the children, I would write down my time in the morning and evening and the location of the city on a notepad and I would put it in the glove box so that if I was found on the side of the road or kidnapped or whatever, that maybe they would find a list of where I was at.
That's excellent. Very, very good tip for people because, you know, people are crazy. We just heard the story, you know, people getting those women that were set free, praise right. Yah.
And you have Facebook today to do that, but I don't want to tell the whole world where I'm at because then somebody will be waiting for me on my next stop, you know?
Right, exactly.
So. Alrighty, PBJ, peanut butter and jelly, yum, yum.
This is a staple, and almost everybody will eat it, except, you know, people with peanut allergies, be mindful of that. But
yes.
Almost everyone, especially children, survival food can be harsh. Peanut butter and jelly, and it's easy to store. It's readily available. Peanut butter has gone up, but it is still, you know, fairly readily available for what you get compared to other foods.
Mm-hmm.
A jar of peanut butter goes a long way. And it's a good source of protein, and you can put it on your breads. You can eat it. Peanut butter, you know, we have a thing in our house, a snack, peanut butter on a spoon. If you just need a little, you know, protein or a little pick-me-up, you can just eat it like that. And jelly, you know, certainly making your own would be great, and having that it's a good way to have a food source that will go a long way and feed a lot of people.
And just keep in mind, peanut butter does keep quite a while, but it can go rancid. So, and unfortunately, your jelly is usually preserved by the sugar, so, or the honey, you know.
But, right.
You can make jelly with honey, too. So, but yeah, it's a great thing. It just sticks to the stomach, you know.
Right. And you could rotate, like in your bug out bag, you could have a small jar of peanut butter and just make sure you rotate it. I mean, it would do a lot if you didn't have another food source to have just that. My daughter used to drive around. She, with her blood sugar, she would have some, you know, lightheadedness, and she would just keep a jar of peanut butter in her car. So and she was an athlete, so if she needed something, a little something, she had that.
Yeah, the protein. And peanut butter and jelly is a nice substitute for dessert.
Yep.
You know, it's sweet, but got protein, so. All right, perimeter defense.
If you are camping out, you're going to want things to, if you needed to make a perimeter defense, you want things that make noise. And in a survival situation, you're not likely going to have, cameras and security guards and things like that. So you want things like that are crunchy when you're walked on. In Mexico, I believe it's illegal in the U.S., so I'm not saying to do this here unless it was a life or death situation. They break glass and they mortar them into the tops of the courtyard walls, like glass, heavy glass, like wine bottles.
So you wouldn't want to climb over.
Right. So if somebody was trying to, jump up and grab it or climb over, yes, it would be very, very damaging. Another idea would be like if you had mirrors and you a lot of us have decorative mirrors and you might set up a line of sight reflecting, from an entrance or something that you would reflect back to the main camp post or something. Maybe there might be a situation like where you are where you want to make sure that you're alerted to bears. Maybe it's empty tin cans or, anything that they're going to trip, some kind of tripwire or something that's going to alert you if you're trying to make sure that your camp is secured and you're not being, invaded by either creatures or people.
Right. And then, of course, besides the mechanical things, there are the pluses and minuses of having dogs.
Yeah, a dog is supposed to be one of the best deterrents to being robbed. And not necessarily any certain size of dog, just the noise factor.
Well, and unfortunately, I mean, as much as you may love your dog, that dog may save your life by just being the one that calls the whistle and, loses his life. But that could be the situation with the mountain lions or, like you said, someone who wants to come in and rob and ravage you, or with the wild animals. So they always are good at alerting. I know here when people have, farm animals in particular, and when you're gardening, if you have a dog, it keeps the deer away and the wild animals off of the predators from your domestic livestock. So
they're great friends to have. And they, it's a responsibility, so don't take it lightly if you choose to get a pet, but they're a great company and they are a very good deterrent to being invaded or robbed or what have you.
Right.
And they don't have to be giant dogs either. So.
Right. And, on a side note, you might really rethink and consider not getting your dogs marked and chipped. That will not be a cool thing. One for your animal. I think it's, I'm not a great animal lover, but I think it's animal cruelty myself. A lot of people, it's like, well, that'll help me save my dog or find my dog. Well, that's our whole mentality about everything else we have. We can't do without a cell phone. We can't do without this or that because we don't trust that, father could maybe work in the situation with us. But if you're in a crisis situation, you're not wanting to be tracked, You're not wanting to bring attention to yourself. And so those are things to rethink and reconsider. And I know for a fact from the University of Montana that in the United States, every university and the government is working to chip every single animal, whether it's domestic or wild. And it's for the purpose, of course, for control. And it could be illegal to have animals in the future, just like in some states it's illegal to have fresh eggs or sell them or fresh raw milk. These are things that are going to not help you. In this county, they are now starting a annual license fee for your dog. I am just like, we're not talking about a tag. We're talking about, okay, so a license equals permission. License
right.
usually equals a tax,
It is a tax, yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, and people, we're sold on this. Well, this is for our good because other people are abusing the situation. That's true. But, punish the people with the problem. Don't punish everyone so that you can get more money, more tax, and more control. So, but, that's the way we have to live. But, again, when society breaks down, these rules are going to be life and death, and we'll have to make our decisions and pay the consequences.
Right. And I do know that the military, it's mandatory that all pets are chipped on a military post.
Mm. Okay.
So, and that's been that way for years. I never thought about it when I was in and when I was a military wife. It was never, that was before I really was unplugged, I guess, and from the Matrix. And, okay, we have to go get the pet chip, but that's been for a long time. It's been mandatory on military posts for pets to be, all pets to be chipped.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of these things that we deal with are good when you have good-minded people, But when you're dealing with how the enemy can use it against you and how he definitely is planning to use it against you if he's not already, And this is where we've been duped into, and this is how we've gotten to where we're at, and we've lost our rights, and we are in the situation we are in this country now, is that we didn't think evil, it says to be innocent, or as pure as a dove and wise as the serpent, and I think we really missed out on the wise part, and because he definitely has a plan, and if we realize that and have our eyes opened, he really does hate us. He really is in pursuit of us in so many ways, subtle and unsubtle.
And this, I think this was part of the Parsha. Anyway, it was part of the reading that study we did for Sabbath that says it was in the gospel portion, I think, where Yeshua said that the people of the world, I'm paraphrasing, are more wise or wiser, more subtle than more shrewd or whatever than the people of faith. And it was the parable about the merchant and the manager of the manager that was going to be let go by his boss. And he went and had everybody write a different bill of sale or something. And we didn't quite, when you're reading it, you don't quite understand, but it's true that the world is very, they understand a lot of things that we have let ourselves become complacent about. And we've just allowed other people to, well, they're doing it for our good, and this is what we need, and they're going to take care of it. We've elected these people, and that's their job, and I don't have to worry about anything. And I know that the chipping and the animal control, that's not just Montana, too. I believe that's part of the
It's the whole world, basically. But
yeah, I think it's part of
Agenda 21 United States.
Or some,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And again, the big problem is when we come into the faith and the covenant, we want to be sheep, and we want to be taken care of. But we don't realize, or if we do, we do not want the responsibility of being a soldier that's going to have to stand up and actively do something to defend ourselves physically and spiritually.
Yeah, it's not a laying down life. It's not a laying down faith. It's an action faith.
Right. You lay down your life so that you're willing to go to battle for your
right.
king and your kingdom. So,
but not laying down for your life.
Right.
Not having your life be, not your life being about being laying down and just.
Well, basically what we do is we give them the noose and let them put it around our neck and then we think they're never going to pull it,
Yep. And we think, oh, but we need that.
Yeah.
So we really need to be more mindful of what they're bringing, what's coming. And, we have to make decisions when those laws and things get enacted. We'll have to, make good prayerful decisions on how to behave and how to deal with those. But in the meantime, be mindful not to just go down the primrose and volunteer for everything.
Right. Absolutely. All right, we have just a few minutes left. Let's see if we can at least get one more topic in. Pillow.
Pillow seems fluffy, you know, no pun intended, or pun intended. But we all sleep better if we have a close approximation to the normal conditions, the good times. So try to mimic that as much as possible. Proper rest is really important, especially in an emergent situation. You have to keep yourself properly rested. If you have the ability to have your pillow with you, take it. Or even if it just in general, when you travel, just to keep yourself better aware and, you know, getting your proper rest, especially driving and traveling, take your home pillow so that you have a better restful night's sleep.
And something to consider is, of course, I love linen pillowcases, but you might want to, one thing, if I was thinking about preparedness and wanting to take a pillowcase with me, and I actually do this when I travel, I will take a cotton pillowcase and put it over my pillow, and then I will put the linen pillowcase. One, because I love to sleep next to the linen. Two, because I have the cotton between me and that fiber fill or whatever's in the middle. Whether it's down or fiber fill. But if you think about it, if you're traveling or you're having to, or if you're having to bug out, you can use the pillowcase on the inside for covering the linen to have a nice clean pillow, or you could use it as a bag. You might need to carry things. You could use the linen pillowcase to put over your face and still, depending on the color, even I think a dark color, unless it's really thick, be able to see through and yet breathe if you're in a situation where you need to filter out what you're breathing mechanically.
A pillowcase can be used for a lot of things, you know, so not bad. And if you didn't want to take the whole pillow, like you said, take a pillowcase or two, and you can use them. Put those in your bug-out bag or, you know, fold it up in your glove box or whatever in your car. A pillowcase would take up no room.
You can even stuff a plastic garbage bag in there so that you could cover it if you needed covering, you know, from wetness, or you need to use that plastic bag for to put a boundary between you and what you're sleeping. Or let's say you don't have the pillow, the fiber fill or whatever it is, you could collect leaves or something soft to put into the plastic bag and then insert the plastic bag within the pillow case. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you could maybe use or do with that. And so I always, when I travel, like to have some Ziploc bags and a garbage bag stuffed in, and a lot of times I stuff them in my pillowcases.
Yep. And you could use
and a change of clothes.
Yes. Yeah, and you could even use that as your pillow if you had to. You know, yeah. Use the pillowcase and put your clothes or whatever in there, provided you have, you know, ample clothing on and you have extra.
Okay.
Like you said, if you don't have the stuffing. So it's a good way to make sure that you're getting a better night's sleep and getting the energy and rest that you need for the situation.
All right. So the next one's really short and quick, I think, and that's plant ID information. We've talked a lot about this. So what do you have to say there?
I can't stress enough to have cards or guidebooks. I know that's a little bit weightier to carry a book around with plant information, but there are too many toxic plants out there and too many lookalikes, especially in the mushroom family. You just really want to be able to identify what you're eating or using. And I recommend, you know, take classes by all means, you know, try to get familiar naturally with them. But it's good, especially, you know, if other people who may not all get the ability to study them out, you want to make sure that children aren't making the wrong decisions and everything. You want to guide that. Just have a book or have some kind of, like they have cards and things, and have those with you.
We need to take a short break. We'll be right back after these few messages, and we will continue with preparation skills for the Remnant Bride.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat and storing.